Good morning. It may just be me, but it seems like the song before the lesson always is a lot shorter than the song after the lesson. Tomorrow, we will, as Americans, celebrate the Labor Day holiday. The first Labor Day was celebrated in New York City on September 5th, 1882. The state of Oregon was the first state to recognize it as an official holiday. Several years later, in 1894, the United States Congress declared that the first Monday in September would be known as Labor Day. It was set aside as a day to honor the American worker, and it has become a day to have cookouts and family gatherings. It's a day where many American workers take a short and well-deserved rest from their labors. Now, on an average, we are working longer hours than we did in the 1950s. In fact, in a lot of cases, we're working more hours than most medieval peasants did. The average American worker works longer hours than any other nation in the industrialized world. On an average, we work about 9 more weeks than workers in Western Europe. Labor Day is a good idea because there are a lot of us that are tired. In our scripture today, in Matthew chapter 11, we're going to talk about Labor Day in the Word, or in God's way. And there's nothing wrong with taking a day off work. I'd like to say I don't plan on working tomorrow, but apparently you can get sick anytime, and I know that hospital couldn't run without me. But there's nothing wrong with taking days off. And there is a spiritual principle that we're going to look at this morning with this whole idea of rest. And we'll go back there in Matthew chapter 11 to what Will read, and we'll read it again, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus' invitation here is for anyone that is weary and burdened, for them to come to him. And that makes a lot of us qualify for that. That is a pretty apt description of how a lot of us are feeling this morning. A lot of us burn the candle at both ends, so much so that both those flames have met in the middle. We have become a people that is overstressed and in a lot of ways overworked. You may feel underpaid and underappreciated. And to be honest, maybe several of you had to drag yourself out of bed just to be here this morning. Weary and burdened? Yes, I think that applies to a lot of us. But there is hope in Jesus' invitation to us. When you get into the text and you discover the richness of Jesus' words, there is a hopeful peace that becomes available. And so this morning, let's do that. What can we discover in Jesus' invitation? The first thing that we'll look at is that Jesus' invitation is exclusive. And that's something that is so obvious that it's easy to miss. But if you look at his words again, he says, "Come to me." He says, "I will give you rest." Jesus tells everyone who is weary and worn out that there is rest available. But it's only available in one place. And that one place is right here. Jesus says, "Everywhere else you go, you're going to be left disappointed. But you've got to come to me and to me alone." You know, a lot of problems that people have with Jesus is his exclusivity. Jesus said things like, "He that is not with me is against me." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There is an exclusiveness with Jesus. If you're not with him, you're against him. He's not a way to God. He is the way to God. And this exclusiveness comes out again and again in this passage from Matthew. "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Jesus reminds us that you're not going to find this rest, this peace in your life, anywhere else. It's found in me and in me alone. And the more that you stop and you consider Jesus' words, the more that they ring true. Where else are you going to find rest and peace? Are you going to find it at work? Well, for a lot of us, work is nothing but a source of more stress and worry. As the demand level increases, so our stress level increases as well. And for a lot of us, work leaves us with feelings of insignificance. You may work for a company that is so big or a factory that has so many employees that you don't feel like anything but a number. You don't feel like you've done anything significant at all after you've spent 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day there. And you contrast these feelings of worry and stress and things like feeling insignificant with the peace here that Jesus is offering. When it comes to stress, God's words tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, to not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When it comes to these feelings of insignificance, God reminds us that we are loved by God and that we are kept by Jesus Christ. And because that is true, that peace, as Jude puts it, can be yours in abundance. Our significance comes not from what we do, but from whose we are, who we belong to. When our significance and worth come from God, the peace of God comes along with it. People who look for rest and peace and fulfillment and significance in their jobs are always going to be left feeling empty and disappointed. And again, you contrast that with the people who seek rest and peace that Jesus offers. And that really doesn't just go for our jobs. That goes for any other place that we go to seek peace with. If we look for anything, anywhere other than Jesus, we're going to feel left empty. Anything less than Jesus is going to equal disappointment. And that's why it is so critical that we acknowledge that His invitation to rest and for peace is exclusive, because He knows that if we run after all of the things that the world offers, we're going to wind up more empty than we started. But on the other hand, He offers a peace that transcends anything that we can find in our world. Now, this is probably going to come as a surprise to a lot of you, but my favorite ice cream is Rocky Road ice cream. In particularly, it's Rocky Road from Schwann's. And here lately, I really wanted to have a couple of dips of Schwann's Rocky Road ice cream. But you know the thing about the Schwann's man is you never know where to find the Schwann's man. He just kind of magically appears when you don't have any money. And, you know, and you're not really needing over expensive frozen items. But then he'll show up at your door and he'll want you to buy something. And as you also may know, there are probably 100 other people that make Rocky Road ice cream. But they're not the same as Schwann's Rocky Road ice cream. And maybe it's because you can only find the Schwann's man once every couple of years. That makes it even better. But the other ice creams just don't have the same flavor. I think their chocolate seems waxy. It's just inferior to every way that I see Schwann's Rocky Road ice cream. And I can buy Yarnell's and I can tell within that first bite that I have an imitation and that it doesn't compare with that real thing that I had in my mind. Well, in the same way, our culture offers us a surplus of options that's supposedly going to give us peace and rest. You'll have peace if you make a little bit more money, or you're going to find rest if you take this particular vacation. Your life is going to be of much more significance if you can just lose some weight. You'll be fulfilled if you get this new position. You'll be content when you own this car, or this jewelry, or these clothes, or these shoes. And while there's nothing inherently wrong with any of those things, they are a sorry imitation if we look to those things for significance, for fulfillment, for peace, and Jesus knew this, that's why his invitation to peace is unapologetically exclusive. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And as we go a little bit deeper here into Jesus' invitation for those who are weary and burdened, we see that this invitation is not only exclusive, but it is also one that is a learning experience. It's not just an exclusive experience with Jesus. It's an experience where we learn from Christ. In verse 29 of our text, Jesus says, "Learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls." Rest and peace are learned experiences. They're not something that's automatic. It takes time to learn and to develop a life of peace. The peace Jesus requires here, it requires knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus requires that we allow ourselves to be taught by Jesus. If Jesus is just a passing thought that floats through our minds on Sunday mornings, we shouldn't be surprised that we don't live a life of peace. Why haven't, or we haven't afforded Jesus the opportunity to teach us, if we're not even sure where our Bible is, then we obviously aren't spending time in the Word that is necessary for Jesus to teach us peace. If our focus is always and only on the physical world that we live in, we rarely, if ever, give a thought of our spiritual things. If we do that, then peace will always avoid us because we're not allowing ourselves to be students of Jesus. Jesus wants to teach us about peace and rest. The problem is that we choose to sit under the tutelage of other teachers. And so, if we lack peace in our lives, we need to look at ourselves first. Peace is a learned experience. We need to ask ourselves, who am I learning from? And once again, if anything other than Jesus, is going to equal disappointment. In 2003, David Blum, who was a co-anchor for the NBC's Today Show, died of a pulmonary embolism while reporting from Iraq. And just hours before he died, he sent an email to his wife, Melanie. And that email read like this. He said, "Mel, you can't fathom, begin to fathom, cannot begin to even glimpse the enormity of the changes I have and I am continuing to undergo. God takes you to the very depths of your being until you're at rock bottom. And then, if you turn to Him with utter and blind faith and resolve in your heart to mind and mind to walk only with Him, towards Him, He picks you up by your bootstraps and leads you home. I tell you, Mel, that I am at peace. Save this note. Look at it from a month from now, a year from now, or 10 years from now. You cannot know now, nor do I know, whether you will look back at it with tears, with heartbreak, and a sense of anguish and regret over what might have been, or whether you will say he was and is a changed man. God has worked a miracle in our lives. And not to be trite, but this will set me free. With love and devotion, Dave." Now, David Blum learned peace, and he learned peace not in a plush, air-conditioned TV studio, but in the hardest assignment of his life in the Iraqi desert. It was here that he was forced to run to God and to learn peace. God oftentimes uses our toughest experiences to teach us the most about peace and rest. You think of someone, how they respond godly when they hear of an illness to themselves, or an illness to a loved one, or just take any of life's trials, for instance. None of those circumstances that are thrown our way are usually fair. And yet, it's through these incredible times of pain that they allow Jesus to teach them more than peace than they have ever known before. This kind of peace makes no kind of human sense. In fact, it's just as Paul put it, it is the peace of God that transcends human understanding. Now, a lot of you are going through tough times right now. The hurt out there are many and varied, but they are present in our church family. And to those of us who are hurting, Jesus simply says, "Run to me." Learn from me. Let me teach you a greater peace than you've known before. Don't turn anywhere else. Turn to me for peace that will last through the good and the bad times. And as we continue going into Jesus' words here, we see the invitation as being exclusive. We see that it is a learning experience. And lastly, we want to look at this invitation as being eternal. Jesus promises that if you will come to Him and only Him and learn from Him, that you will find rest for your souls. Jesus doesn't just offer rest for your body. He doesn't just offer you peace of mind. It is an eternal rest, an everlasting peace for your soul. Jesus is inviting all of us. And the problem with that is that we take such poor care of our souls that we don't even hear His invitation. There is hardly any of us here today that will go a day without eating. In fact, if you're like me, it'll probably be every few hours. We live in a culture where our bodies are very well fed. In fact, probably our bodies are overfed. And yet in the middle of this culture of the all-you-can-eat buffet for your body, we find a lot of our souls are starving to death. We take great care to feed our temporary bodies. But our souls, those things that are eternal, are often lucky to give table scraps. How long has it been since you nourished your soul? When was the last time you spent a dedicated amount of time to prayer? When was the last time you read something that stretched your thinking on some theological issue? How long has it been since you worshiped God, not just here inside these walls, but somewhere else? In a culture of unbelievable abundance and surplus, our souls are withering away from malnourishment. And the problem is that a starving soul is harder to see than a starving body. When you're hungry, it's easy to recognize. You feel it. It's unmistakable. A hungry soul is a lot less noticeable at first. But the effects of a hungry soul are seen, for example, with a life that's lived with no peace. And if all of this talk about peace and rest is just ringing hollow to you this morning, maybe it's because you've been starving your soul. The rest and peace that Jesus offers is exactly for our souls. It's a peace that will outlast our lives, and it's going to outlast this world. The length of our lives is microscopic in comparison to that which is eternity. And yet, our lives in this world often dominate our time and attention and energy. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, there the Bible reminds us that you have been raised to life with Christ. So set your hearts on the things that are in heaven, where Christ sits on His throne at the right side of God. Keep your minds fixed on these things, not things here on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This here is a call for us to have an eternal perspective on a temporary world. The challenge is for us to raise our sights above the physical and to focus on the spiritual. If you have made a commitment to Jesus, your real life really isn't here anymore. Your real life is temporarily hidden with Jesus in heaven. And so that is where our sights need to be. It's a call to constantly guard against allowing ourselves to be bogged down with our temporary problems and our struggles here. A time is coming when we are going to experience our real life in the presence of God. When that time comes, our struggles and our hurts and our pains are going to be a distant memory. And when we understand this, it gives us a peace in our lives that really does transcend human understanding. Now, tomorrow, a lot of us will take a short break from work and school, and I hope those that do enjoy the day. But more than that, I hope that we pursue a higher form of Labor Day. I pray that we will look for ways to make every day a Labor Day for God's way. The rest and peace that Christ offers us here is life-changing, and it is a life-giving experience. He offers us peace to get us through the heartaches and the struggles. He offers us peace that knowing no matter what hurt that we experience, there is a hope that is sure. God is faithful to his promises. And if you have committed your life to the eternity to Jesus Christ, someday he's going to take you home to live with him forever. And this morning, if you haven't made that life commitment to Christ, we invite you to do it today. We invite you to come and experience the peace that knowing that Jesus gave his life on the cross so that he might give you life to the fullest now and for the rest of eternity. We encourage you to take that invitation as together we stand and we sing.